now. And Tom, I noticed you sent me a clip about a soon-to-watch video that you want to have, the Kurt Warner story, right? Because he was the underdog, and it's coming out in December. It kind of really came out of nowhere. You know what? It was almost like Frito-Lay, really, just for the NFL version. That's basically what this is.
Yeah, and this is Positive Friday, so this falls right into that. Kurt Warner, Hall of Famer, great Arizona Cardinal. I know Strutty's not here. He's off to a little bit of a trip this weekend and next week, so he can appreciate a Giants legend as well in his brief time there, grooming Eli. And I actually think that this might be a decent movie, Gregor. Like, we don't get a ton of great sports movies out of Hollywood anymore, and this one's going to be based on Warner's memoir. And I know he's kind of religious, and he talks about his faith and all of that. Yeah, you don't really have to be into that kind of thing to appreciate what he was able to do when he thought all hope was lost of continuing his NFL playing career, football career, as a matter of fact, because he ended up playing in the Arena League, and then I think he was in NFL Europe for a bit. He was cut by the Green Bay Packers in 94, and then eventually stuck with the Rams in St. Louis. And, you know, he becomes a two-time MVP, Super Bowl champion. And, like, you see Kurt Warner now, he's never in a bad mood. He never seemed to be in a bad mood during his playing days either. He appreciates all that he's earned, all that he's been given. And this might actually be, from watching the little preview that he tweeted out, it might actually be pretty good. Like, the football scenes seem to be all right. And I don't know how the story will be. Anna Paquin's in it, a Canadian actress who was an Oscar winner. She was an X-Men. She's been in a ton of other stuff. So this might actually be one where you flip it on and you're like, hey, a hidden gem. And I look forward to seeing it because I did appreciate him and his time as a Cardinal and almost winning them a Super Bowl. Of course, that didn't happen. Big Ben and the Steelers kind of quashed all of that. But this might actually be a good sports movie coming out here.
Hey, speaking of Positive Fridays, what about rookie reliever Daniel Camarena when he hit a grand slam off of Mark Scherzer? He's a hometown guy. Like, that was one of the most crazy. And then did you see the interview they had with his brother?
I saw his dad going crazy. And then the Spanish call on the home run. What did his brother say? Because I thought that was, like, just amazing the way they caught his dad in the moment, like everyone, on his phone, and then the Spanish call of the home run was unreal. What did his brother say?
Well, he was just, obviously they were there, he's just super proud of him. It was just kind of surreal because for those who weren't watching last night, now Camarena, he's a relief pitcher. Keep that in mind. He's a relief pitcher.
Yep.
He'd only ever had one other big league at bat, right? And he struck out.
Yep.
So this guy comes up. He's a relief pitcher, right? He doesn't hit very often. He's only the second pitcher in Major League history whose first hit was a grand slam. The last guy, Bill Duggleby, in 1898. So Low Tide was watching him, but no one else back then. Okay, so like that's like this whole thing. So he's a relief pitcher. Those guys don't get a lot of fanfare anyway. But not only do you get a hit, you get a grand slam off of one of the best pitchers in baseball in Max Scherzer. It was one of the best moments I have seen in a long time. Like the stadium's going crazy, the dugout's going crazy because no one's thinking that this guy. You know, like we were talking about, I had the old school when Frank the Tank, remember the debate, Tommy? He comes out of nowhere and everyone's shocked.
Oh, yeah.
Like this is basically, and this is infinite times more because A, it's real, and B, like it was definitely one of the best ones for sure that I've seen in a long, long time.
Amazing to hometown kid, and that's part of it as well. Greg's like, these are the cool stories, and you're right. Great way to continue on with Positive Friday. I love it. I love the family involvement. I didn't catch the brother. And speaking of Bill Duggleby from the Phillies on April 21st, 1898, I think Low Tide was actually in the stands selling cigarettes to the fans that day.
You know what? That was he doesn't talk about that job very often, but it is one of his favorite jobs he's ever had. So. So
there you go.
Know, nowadays they sell ice cream, but he used to love selling them, right? Camels. What was it? I think he said his favorite seller was like Du Maurier. I think it was. If I'm, I'll have to ask him on Monday. But I think it was Du Maurier was his best seller.
Yeah.
Now, Tommy, the CFL, the Elks training camp begins tomorrow, and Saskatchewan had some devastating injuries yesterday. The Elks lose another offensive lineman, Colin Kelly. Man, this might be a battle of attrition to just see who's healthy come August 7th.
This Riders thing, by the way, is freak accidents or just guys not being as active as they wanted to be. These guys, Gregor, you're there and you see these guys in person. They are like finely tuned athletes, but to have four Achilles tendons snap. And, we saw Naylor's reporting saying it had to do with a medicine ball toss. Like, yikes, man. Yikes. And on the eve of camp, the CFLPA put out a memo. And I think, we're going to probably see and hear about a few more injuries, which is unfortunate. Losing Colin Kelly, obviously, is tough for the double E. But, man, like, I'm excited and eager as a fan. But you worry about some of these players, some of the stars, if they go down with injury, that's going to be tough. Hopefully, knock on wood, that this doesn't continue on. We don't lose any of the big names and that we get a relatively healthy nine rosters kicking off on the 5th and the 7th and that week when things finally get going. And I don't know about you, but does a lack of preseason concern you given the amount of time off? I know that the CFL only plays two preseason games in a traditional normal year, but is that a concern as well?
That's a good question. Maybe. Like obviously they have medical experts and they're going to follow their protocols, and we had their coaches on. It's obviously something you have to be leery of. Like the Saskatchewan one, and I said it yesterday, like I don't want to overblow it because lots of players get injured in the off season. From Achilles, right? Andre Sekera, lots of other guys, and basketball, other football guys. They're just doing box jumps, and it probably was going to go when it went. It's obviously crazy that four players from one team had it, but there's concerns here. I think once you get in, like these guys are still like I would hope that most of these like high level athletes were still keeping themselves, like a normal off season, right? It was a little bit longer, but you get back into it and. They should be okay. A lot of these other teams took the NHL guys went from the bubble, Tom, to not playing to a bubble right into the playoffs. So, I would like to think that the CFL guys should be able to do it.
I'll ask you this one too, in regard to the CFL. We saw that the XFL CFL discussions formally were dropped, but what about this? I don't know where it's coming from, but this talk that the Argos could bolt for the XFL. Do you think that's crazy or do you think that has legs?
Nah. What do you think?
They're the one team, apparently, talking to Naylor yesterday on the morning show, that was pushing to get this merger done and to make it work. And, if something drastic like that were to happen, the Argos make sense just because they get nobody at those games. They moved to BMO. It's a nice stadium. It's been renovated a bunch of times. I know the dimensions are a little bit shorter in the end zones. I think they're down to 17 yards just because they don't have enough room. But if any city in our country would be that starved for American football, it would be Toronto. And I think that that's what gives it like some glimmer of possibility. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. And I hope it never comes to fruition. Who knows if the XFL truly does come back in 2023. But I look at that and go, geez, that might be an issue. And I hope it doesn't happen, Griggs. Yeah.
And I think that's because MLSE, right, they thought they would collaborate with it. And I think MLSE looks and says, geez, football hasn't worked in Toronto. And maybe you say, okay, well, what haven't we done correctly to make it work? They're like, oh, let's just bring in a different league. That's what's going to be the difference. And I don't believe that's the answer to this. I don't believe that the XFL – now, hey, maybe the XFL with The Rock and big name stuff. But the thing is, the Toronto – they've been the one organization over the last three decades who brought in more NFL retreads than the Argos. No one. They brought in a lot of old guys. Oh, this guy's going to come in here and he's going to be great. He used to be a superstar in the NFL, and how many panned out? Okay. Like,
none.
Ricky Williams was okay. Right? That was about it. He was okay. Right? And most of the other ones, no. So, I don't, you know, and here's the thing, because a lot of people say, well, geez, you couldn't have the CFL without Toronto because TSN said, well, why? Does Toronto games have infinitely more viewers? That would be the question I would ask. Show me your viewership for all the games, and let's see. Is Toronto, like, hey, I get in theory, you can even have a much lower percentage of your fans or people watching games in Toronto, and it still might be the same number of people that watch games in Saskatchewan. And I think that's what people have to remember. Mm-hmm. There's definitely not as many people who go to the games, but just some people might watch it because you have eight times as many people in Toronto as you do in Regina and Edmonton and other places, right? So that's a legitimate thing. But I'd want to know, okay, what are the overall numbers? Is it that, like, is Toronto every week, regardless of who they play, are they our biggest draw? Because if they're not, then it shouldn't, just because your head office of your TV company's there, I don't think that should matter. So, Toronto hasn't, like, Toronto's won some great cups, but they just haven't, like, I'd have to see the numbers, and I've never seen them broken down on game by game. Like, they'll show you, okay, who had the biggest crowd or biggest audience for one game. I've seen that, but I haven't seen every week, every game all year long. Let's see it. And that's what you'd have to break down. And I would assume the, you know, because TSN would have a big say in this. Obviously, they're a massive partner, and they've, you know, they've done a good job of keeping the CFL alive. I think that's fair. But, you know, I think Toronto, we've heard lots of weird ideas out of Toronto. Most don't come to fruition, so I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Speaking of a retread, I'll just throw this at you. Is this not history repeating itself, like when Montreal had that World League team in the early 90s? Or is this a little bit different if that possibility popped up?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit different. Right?
Okay.
Yeah. I would never... I think any league is in football, you know, has tried to compete against the NFL and in another way against the CFL, and it's never lasted. That doesn't mean it won't ever happen, but so far it hasn't. And if the XFL is going to come back, then they have to figure out, what can we do different this time? What mistakes did the USFL and recently the XFL and all these other leagues that have tried, what are they doing wrong that we have to avoid? I don't know the answer to that, but that would be my first question. Right? Okay, show me the answers we have. Don't just tell me, oh, we're going to do it better, because that's not an answer. Right? What did they do wrong? What are we going to do different? Don't assume we'll be better. That's the biggest mistake ever. Oh, I'll be better. Right? Oh, automatically be better. Not the case. So, we'll see.
Yeah.
Tommy, have yourself a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. Go Italy for you. Hey, if you and Cons, whoa. What's the bet here, boys? England, Italy, what's going on here?
Connor, any ideas?
Yes. Well,
you guys had 3 days to think about this. Jeez, like, do either one of you have confidence in your own team?
What I was going to say was, if Italy wins, perhaps I could take you out for a fine Italian dinner.
Okay.
If England now, wins, if England you have to take wins. Me out for a fine English dinner, which might not be the best meal. So maybe you just take me out for an Italian dinner, because that's probably better, let's be honest.
Okay. And you have to wear a Kappa tracksuit for an entire week.
I like that.
Does anyone have a Kappa tracksuit? Yeah.
I know a lot of people that do.
Oh, you're
talking
Italian.
To an Italian.
Yes. I like this. Oh, yeah. You got to post a picture every day.
I'll wear the Italian.
That's right.
The Kappa jacket every day. And if you lose, you got to wear the English scarf that I have.
Fine.
And I know you're
deal.
On the ice for hockey camp. So, that you know.
I will be mocked mercilessly if that happens. So the Italians better win it on Sunday.
Awesome. Tommy, enjoy the game. We'll talk to you on Monday.
Will do.